Okay, perfect. So, congrats on 30 years of films in the industry. How does it feel to accomplish so much creativity over time?
It's great, actually, because, I mean, for me personally, I'm 30 odd years myself. The company started when I was just born around that time. But it's been quite a journey, even growing up, seeing how my father and my uncle kind of put this company together, production house, with a lot of their own personal finance and, you know, mortgaging their homes and the passion that they put behind setting up this enterprise. It's still quite unparalleled in the times we live in, because capital in India around that time, and even now it's difficult, but at that time it was extremely hard. And to put all that you have in your kitty and your homes and everything behind projects and stories was some kind of courage and passion, which is has become even more rare to see right now. And I think coming from there, they went about creating projects and stories and films that have become landmarks in a lot of people's consciousness. And I'm really proud that, you know, that I'm part of this legacy of storytelling that I can probably take forward, you know.
Yeah, it's, I mean, you've had a long journey, and your family's been in the business for so long, so it's great that someone like you is taking over that production house and taking it further into the cinema world. So you guys have created over 50 films with the production, and now going into creative digital content. Can you tell us more about that?
Yes, it's about, actually, it's about 60 to 70 odd films, because there are a lot of television films as well. And
right.
The reason I'm mentioning that is because going into digital content right now, you know, even back then, I think there was only one national channel that was Doordarshan in India. Back in the days. And what was very interesting even then is that the company even was one of the only few who made the first few telefilms for Doordarshan. And they never looked at, they looked at every screen as an opportunity. And that's what another medium to tell stories through. And going forward with the digital conversation is the reason we're going aggressively into that space, is because it's another screen and another place where the audience is coming, and they want to consume stories, and not only just movies, you know, shows, any kind of storytelling content is coming up there. So taking from what we did even with the television, made the specific for TV movies, we are now planning to do a lot of like film and TV shows on the digital platform, since a lot of the major players now are in India and are setting up shops there. Amazon is already there. I kind of spearheaded one of the largest partnerships with Amazon, and first and largest partnership with Amazon, giving them kind of an exclusive access to our library. And and then after that, I mean, even Netflix is looking at creating a lot more content there. They're setting up their strategy. Other platforms are also getting more serious. There's Google, there's Facebook, there's Apple. Everybody wants storytelling to come to their digital platforms as well, because it's, I think, cinema specifically is like, you know, is like a honey trap in a way, you know,
right,
for people to come in to the platform. And in the olden days, I give a lot of people the example is that, which Amazon is doing pretty well as a strategy, is that when you had malls, you had theaters in them so that they would get footfalls, and then there would be a lot of shopping, right?
Right.
So it makes complete sense for all of them from to go even the other platforms, which are mainly UGC, like user generated content, to have something that's a little bit more professional and more premium. And kind of that is what attracts the audiences. And I think what I like about the new audio, the new platforms, the digital platforms, is they respect storytellers from that perspective. It is not just, you know, mass content being created for the way earlier television was doing it. They are looking at a better quality of content, and they are not coming with, they've realized that the audience is also, the differentiators they have to be with the audiences is they can't be just another screen of, which is on your phone, but the content is similar to television. They realize that there's a discerning audience on, you know, phones, and people watch things a lot differently. So I think they and a company like mine specifically, who's worked a lot with a lot of fresh talent, we have, I mean, that's been a philosophy, but mainly it has been that we have no bottleneck of, you know, we don't have to wait for big stars to tell a story. We have managed time and again to prove ourselves and say that good stories are like, you know, it's like, you know, water. It finds its way. And it will eventually, we do not have to wait for just a few number of actors to tell those stories.
Exactly.
So I think the digital platform is one of the reasons I think they have interest in a production company like ours is worldwide, I think the US specifically, there is a diverse amount of talent available, and there are not only a handful of people telling stories.
Exactly.
So I think our vision is to bring a lot more people onto the mainstream platform because they are talented. They need a lot of hand holding. That's the difference. They need to be nurtured, and we've done that over a period of time. We have the temperament, the patience, and the enthusiasm to work with raw talent, and you know, give them that space to express themselves on a better platform.
Yeah, and you know, I totally agree with you because, you know, the millennial generation is all about digital right now, you know. So I have a marketing background and I obviously run this website, but I totally agree with you on how, you know, digital content is taking over the world of cinema, you know. So and I commend you on that. So so what's in store for Vicious Films this year and next year?
So the movie business is, I mean, it's still doing pretty well, and I mean, theaters have had their own share of problems in terms of theatrical business, but I don't see that as a problem. What I've seen is that there's been a decent shift, like it's like from offline retail to online retail. So there is, the audiences do go to theaters as well, but I think they're becoming they're choosing the kind of content they want to go to watch in a theater, and that's happening world over, not just in India. And there is a lot of content that they still want to consume, but just probably not in, you know, not drive out, find parking with bad rains, you know, bad weather. They prefer to have it come to their homes or on their cell phones, on their TVs. So I think knowing that the consumer habits have changed, the content also we've realized is has to understand the new consumer and create content accordingly for the theater and beyond. So going forward, I think there are a couple of stories that we are making obviously for the theater, but some will be having a limited theatrical release and better digital television release and etc. The others obviously will go wider. They are the big franchise films, and the reason we kind of go to those franchise films is that in the clutter that we are in, the world that we are living in, there's so much marketing clutter, right? What these landmark franchises do is that they kind of cut through the clutter. They talk very easily to the audience. The audience knows that why should they be getting out of their homes and coming to the theaters. And we're going to bring some of our landmark films and their stories back. You know, some of them will probably be maybe be remade, and some will be sequels. so that the audience has enough reasons to come to the theater to watch this film.
This is someone who's known to do the sequel films. I mean, I guess you kind of answered my question, but will you be doing more of those in the future to come? Like, you know, I know you guys are on Oscar 3 and...
Right. See, I think one of the reasons we went, we are in this fortunate position that it's like if Hollywood has Marvel now, and every studio is kind of, you know, wanting to work with the Marvel characters. A lot of our sequel films, sometimes the stories or the characters, that are like iconic characters and in themselves. So the reason that we started exploring a lot in the last decade or so, a lot of the sequel films, is that we had these assets, these properties, that were not dependent on who was starring in them. They were stars in themselves. So it's almost like saying that you have a star, which is a great asset, but going out in the market and paying the top dollar to a big star to bring in the audiences. And we were in this good position that we started realizing that when we have these assets, it's those assets is what the audience wants more than going out and buying a star. And they are stars in themselves. So a lot of actors, I mean the stars also would probably align on some of these projects. But that's one of the reasons that we started working with sequels, is because they're not dependent on a star power to be released in theaters. So I think we will be doing those as well, because there's a big fan following for a lot of those films, like Aashiqui, and there's been Murder and Raaz, and you know, various franchises. We probably have, I think we do have the largest number of franchises.
Right.
In the industry. And so we will keep that track on. But likewise, on the parallel, I think we are very proud of a film called Begum Jaan, which recently came out.
So, yeah, I loved it. Beautiful. It was a beautiful film.
Yeah, so those kind of narratives, which are kind of disruptive, powerful, they have, more female-centric storytelling. I think we've always done that. We'll keep that track on as well in the future space.
So, you're speaking today around 3 o'clock at the FCCI, this is panel today. I know,
right.
I'm not quite sure what you guys are talking about, but what are you guys looking forward to the most? Because I know at this moment, ex-Prime Minister of Australia is there, and it's great that India and America are trying to build ties together. You know, we hosted, Money hosted the Tampa IFA Awards in Tampa Bay, because I'm from Tampa.
And
I think that after that happened in America, there was a lot of cross connection, building relationships between both countries. So what are you expecting out of that today?
I think there'll be a lot that I will be hearing out, that like you said, there's a distinguished panel that's there. So that some legal experts and accounting experts and various other ministry-based people as well are there. I think what we, as filmmakers, there are two of us, I think Kabir and me are on the panel. Kabir as a film director, me as someone who has heads of production house. I think that will be a portion that where we'll be listening to how they think that we can, go beyond the conversations that we've already had over decades. How can we take things forward? And I think there will be suggestions, and maybe we will put up front the challenges that we face beyond legalities and technicalities when it comes to creating content. And I think what I'm looking forward to personally is that I think as the world is converging and getting more global, there needs to be a lot more exchange of talent. There needs to be a lot more, I think there's a lot more that the Indian content makers can do that can come to the U.S. as well.
Right.
You know, I mean, can come to the U.S. audience. And I think that window, the gatekeepers, the so-called gatekeepers of, distribution platforms, they kind of prejudge audiences and they don't, it doesn't get the window. But from what I know, the digital platforms are beginning to change that as well. They want, they know that the new audience, the global audience, wants content from everywhere else. And I think two mature content creating countries should, I think, work together in this new world by exchanging more talent. And I think capital is one part of the conversation. I think there needs to be a lot more collaboration on the creative side. So we can see more stories. I mean, there was this one Slumdog Millionaire that came in and grabbed people's attention here. But if you notice, its setup is such that it could only come through that setup and get its prominence. I remember seeing this even that time when it came around. I said, Rehman is a genius and he's a legend, and he's made a lot more material that we are all aware of. It's great, but it's also strange that it requires Slumdog Millionaire to recognize the genius of Rehman.
Okay.
He's done a lot more, but I think there needs to be more situations where you do not need studio-backed ventures where they say, let's make a token Indian film with Indian talent or Indian stories, but backed by Western production companies, and only then they will be recognized. I think that's unfair to a lot of the audience and the makers on both sides.
Yeah, and you need support from the Western side. It's important. You know, sometimes there's like a disconnect between the South Asian world and the mainstream world, and I think that it's important for people to even non-Indians to understand what our art and culture is all about. Last few questions. How are you enjoying IFA? And so far in New York City, I mean, you're in New York, you know, so I know it's raining today, but do you guys have any plans for today with you and your wife? And are you guys going to see any Broadway shows while you guys are in town?
So the thing is that the panel starts today, so that's the first thing that I'm attending. And the technical awards will be there as well, but I think I'll be going tomorrow I'll be going to the main event. But usually being in New York is great because I went to NYU. So I'm a student. I was a student at Tisch and the Morris Sandbar Film Institute. I was there. So it's great to be back here, you know, where I have in the last 10 years established my own identity in the film world back here, over here. And then being back in this city and meeting a lot of my friends from NYU, a lot of my buddies here, and this award function happening in New York City, it's almost surreal, you know, like 10 years later, it's a lot of fun to have the two worlds converge, you know, where the streets that I walked as a student, you know, walking back in those spaces. I've been visiting the city often, but, you know, with IFA coming here as well, it kind of really brings the two worlds together. And I think I've spent more of, yesterday I just came in, I wanted to just catching up with jet lag. But something funny was that, whenever I fly in, so my friends come in and they are like, you know, you need to stay up and you have to have a few drinks so that's how you can overcome the jet lag. So we were around downtown, we went like a couple of restaurants, but I think over the weekend as well, like other than IFA, I'll be hanging out a lot with them, and I think, I mean, in terms of Broadway, I've still not got a chance to watch the Book of Mormon, and it's crazy. I've come for such short trips for work mostly, that I haven't got a chance. I'm hoping that I'll get a small window on Sunday if IFA and my other commitments allow me. I also wanted to see the opening Formula E happening here in New York as well, the first one.
Yeah, happening this week. Yeah, that's going to be really good.
So they're kind of overlapping in terms of timing, so it's, you know, the Book of Mormon's been around for a while, so but we are like trying to see the weather because going to the race, if it's going to be raining, it's going to be not a good experience. So I think we're just going to see the weather and then accordingly see what we can do on Sunday.
Of course, of course. It's great talking to you, and congratulations to you and your the Butt family on, you know, many years of filmmaking. I'm an 80s baby. I was born in 84 as well, so I grew up with all your films.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So they're the same age, actually.
Yeah.
So it's interesting, actually, I think from the panel's perspective. I mean, I came in 2 years ago. I was invited to even speak at Harvard for the India Conclave, and an interesting question I asked them. I was like, okay, you know, I mean, I represent one of the most important production houses in the industry, but quite specifically me, because they reached out to me, and I've been attending a lot of panels and even the digital platforms. I mean, they get in touch with the company, but they get in touch with me. So there's two reasons that this is, you know, this me living in the U.S. and studying here, and understanding of like the global world, and I think the age, it's typically the age. I think what they see is that, you know, the conversations about the millennials, there is in the Indian film industry, someone who has a kind of a global perspective, but also is not just out of college, has had a good 10 years of experience during this change in the content business, hands-on. So I think on the business side, it happens to be I'm in this unique spot where I am the only person who is in this age with that experience that that they find as the correct casting, you might say, to fit into a panel. To talk about, because everything is now because of the millennials, right? Every marketing pitch, everything. I mean, last night we were joking, so some of our friends were joking, we're like, someone should just, like, you know, have a shot every time millennial is mentioned on the panel, you know?
Everything has been so old school, and now millennials know what they want. Consumers know what they want. If you understand what they want, then you're going to be able to sell the product. So, you know, it's all about marketing and strategy.